Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my sisters, my friends. Thank you so much for joining us tonight once again on a good Monday night in November. We are back tonight to talk to you about my sister, my friend. We are an internet show here to undergird, uplift, and encourage our women. We are here to provide information and resources for those women in need of assistance. We want to give the women a voice to express their femininity in a godly arena and also be a sounding board for our women from all walks of life, locally, nationally, and internationally. We thank you again for joining us tonight. We want to give our shout-out to our partners, First Free Will Baptist Church, Reverend Terry. Beverly, who is our president, is on the line tonight with us. We also want to give a shout-out to my pastor, Reverend Michael Morgan Sr., and all those that are listening. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Beverly, go ahead and say hello to our listening audience.
Good evening, everyone. I hope that something will be said this evening that will encourage you to call in, and we just welcome you to the show.
Amen. Also, our co-host, Pastor Sonara Henderson, will probably be joining us shortly. So just get ready, get ready, get ready for our wonderful guest tonight, who is Miss Demetra Stevenson, who is a poet and author who has written great poetry. She is, her name is Vessels of Honor, and I'm sure that she will go ahead and give you more information on that. So go ahead, Demetra, say hello to our listening audience and tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Hello, everybody. I hope everybody is doing well tonight. My name is Demetra Stevenson. I am currently the founder of Vessels of Honor Ministries, which is Women of Integrity, Character, Beauty, and Faith. I come from a church background, grew up in a church. My dad was a pastor, kind of grew up in that background. Just kind of came from also to just a background of, you know, brokenness. And through that brokenness and me finding God in the church, God just kind of led me to be able to share my testimony with other women to truly find my identity in Christ and my identity in Him. He has just given me a passion for women, a passion to speak life and restoration. The background for the ministry, it comes from the scripture, which is based on 2 Timothy 2:19-21, which talks about, you know, in a good house there are some vessels of honor and some vessels of dishonor. And it goes on to say that if a man purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. And from a young woman, I just, you know, really cried out to the Lord, and I said, God, make me a vessel of honor, you know, just in those different difficult times, even with being a young woman. I was a teen mom. I got pregnant when I was 15 years old, and really felt like, you know, God didn't love me, and really had to put myself in a position to really try to prove myself to Him, to gain His love. But through the walking with Him, He made me to understand that if I truly put myself in His presence, that He will do the purging and He will make me a vessel unto honor. And so whatever I have that He has put in me through the Holy Spirit, He has allowed me to be able to pour that into the lives of other women and to just speak life into them, into those broken areas of their lives. So that's just a little bit about Vessels of Honor Ministries and where it came from.
Amen. So why don't you elaborate a little bit more on how you got into this? Tell us, what was your motivating factor besides just growing up in the church and seeing women broken, and beside you having a child at the early age? What else did you go through, or would you like to share some of those so that some of the women that are listening will understand how you got into this passion?
Really, to be kind of, I kind of grew up in a background where there was a lot of religion and not relationships. So, you know, through my journey growing up in the church, there was a lot of identity, a lot of church hurt, if you will. So through that church hurt, you know, and I'm just going to be real candid tonight because I have to really talk about where my brokenness came from. You know, there was a lot of different issues that I went through, you know, just being a part of the church, you know, being hurt by leaders. I've been mentally, emotionally, physically, you name it, you know, a lot of brokenness came from the church. You know, per se, which God has shown me through that there's other broken people that are in the church too, and God is looking to heal all of his people. But through that, me trying to find my identity, you know, and who I was in him, God was showing me that, you know, he was my ultimate, you know, person that I should look to find my purpose in life and to find out, you know, who I am, because he holds my purpose and my destiny. So, you know, growing up through those times, you know, me being a teen mother, my mom put me out when I was 15 years old. So during that time, it was me trying to find my way, trying to prove myself to people, trying to, you know, like I said before, gain people's love through whatever it may be, through, you know, me trying to work in the church, to me, you know, trying to just gain approval through different things throughout my life. And so through that, God has shown me that the same brokenness that I have, you know, he was showing me that all of the different things that I walk through, that he can really take the broken pieces of my life, the different things, the abuse that I suffered, the teen pregnancy, all of those different things, that he can really take the broken pieces of my life and put it back together again. And so that's just kind of like the main, it's several things that I have gone through, but the majority of those things have come from church hurt.
Man, I can go with you there on that, because that's where we lose a lot of our young women, and just by just saying things to them that is not of God, and where we're supposed to nurture and supposed to accept them but love them enough so that they will understand how to walk the Christian walk and not shun them or push them away by the things that we say. So a lot of times we talk to them and we don't really say what we're supposed to say. We stand in judgment. So did you have a lot of judgment going on after you got pregnant with your kid? How did that work out for you?
A lot of judgment. You know, of course, I come from the old school. So when I did get pregnant, of course, you know, I wasn't able to do anything, you know, in the church. You know, I got scrutinized because I, you know, had a baby. So, of course, I went through that whole situation where, you know, other individuals, you know, I was really kind of a bad influence on the other younger ladies, you know, in the church, because I kind of wore this scarlet letter. So, you know, you can kind of imagine, you know, through that, like I said, you know, that's why it's so important for us to know our identity in Christ and know who we are, because if not, you know, the different people that speak things over your life, you know. I thought that, you know, I would never graduate from high school, and I was told that I would never graduate from high school on time. I was told that, you know, all of these negative things that was forming my image of who I thought I was. I wasn't seeing myself through the eyes of God at all. You know, as a matter of fact, during that time, during the teen pregnancy, you know, I just really went through a moment where I felt like, you know, I really had a passion and a love for God, but because of everything that I was going through, I felt like God didn't love me. You know, I felt like he didn't love me. And I remember my dad was a pastor. They adopted me as their daughter. And I remember we were in a Bible study one night, and the Bible study was called Recognizing God's Love for You. And my father, you know, stood up in the church, and, you know, we were in a Bible study, and he said, you know, do you recognize God's love for you? And, of course, you know, during that time, I was very honest, you know, and so he asked me the question, and I stood up, and they said, Demetra, do you recognize God's love for you? And I said, I really don't, you know. And, of course, in the church, you're not really supposed to say how you really feel, you know.
Right. So, not then.
you know, a hush came over the church, you know, and they asked me a question, you know, like, and my father said, you know, if you don't recognize God's love for you, you know, then, sweetheart, you can't be saved, you know. And so thanks be to God, during him walking with me, you know, God began to show me the difference between religion versus relationship. He began to show me that he literally had, you know, a relationship with him. But like I said, you know, you talked about, you know, some of the different things that were said in the church, you know, trying to find my identity through leaders and what they were saying. And this is in no way against leaders, because I feel like, you know, they did the best they could at the time. But sometimes, you know, when as young women, when we're searching for our identity, and leaders are a representation of God to us. You know what I'm saying? So when we're suffering the abuse and all of these different things, it can kind of mess us up, you know, as far as God and who he is in our lives. But God began to take me on this journey. And during this journey, he began to get me in my word. I was a Sunday school teacher and, you know, different things like that. And to really teach me through the word who I was and who my identity was, because my identity is really wrapped up in him. He tells me who I am. He says that I am his queen. He says that I am his bride. And I have went on a journey to find my peace and my restoration in him. I'm also a worshiper. So he's shown me through worship, you know, that when we reach out to him through worship, that he literally comes and dwells within us, and he makes his abode within us. So his presence is what has guided me through those different years of difficulties that I have walked through as a young woman.
Okay. He kept you, huh? He just kept you. All of this time, he has been right there with you. He's never left you nor forsaken you, huh?
No,
that's
ma'am.
That's a wonderful thing to know. Let me ask you this. Hello?
Uh-huh.
Somebody want to ask a question? Okay. Well, I wanted to ask you, how did you get into writing such a beautiful poems that you put on the scrolls, and I'm going to tell you to go ahead and tell about your writings. But how did you do that? Did you just lay down one night and he just started talking to you?
Well, actually, it probably started back in 2009 God began to really take that transition, like I said, from religion to relationship, and I began to really seek God like never before. And in seeking him like never before, God began to draw me. And so one particular summer, he literally was drawing me to the ocean. I don't know if you guys are familiar with, and you probably are. I'm not from Texas. I'm from Omaha, Nebraska. That's a whole other story how I got here to Texas, but it was totally God. God threw me here. But during that time in 2009, when I was just really diligently seeking God and seeking his presence and seeking his face, for some reason, I told my coworkers, I worked at the Salvation Army at the time, and I said, for some reason, God has drawn me to the water. And I didn't know anything about Corpus Christi. I didn't know anything. I didn't know where the ocean was. I just knew that he was drawing me to water. So I tell people that I'm a water girl. So during that time, you know, it was my birthday, and my daughter, you know, she wanted to do something with me. She's 22. And I just said, for some reason, I just want to be by myself, and I want to go. I need to find some water. So they told me about Corpus Christi, that's a place where that would be, you know, the closest ocean that I could get to, you know, in Texas. And so I went to Corpus Christi. I went down to Corpus Christi, and while I was down there, you know, I made that a time with me and the Lord. And one day I was sitting on the ocean, and I began to just kind of really become tranquil before the Lord, began to pour out before him. And literally I started hearing poems in my head. And so, you know, this stuff started rhyming, you know, and it just started coming out and flowing. And so immediately I grabbed my phone, and one of the first writings that I wrote, I think I shared it with you, it was Sister, My Sister. And so I started in my head hearing, Sister, My Sister, can you really see? you know, and then it went on to the next verse and the next verse. And so before I got done, I was on the ocean, and all of this stuff started coming out of me. And then I went back to the ocean the next day, and I wrote, you know, The Ocean Sea. And so ever since that time with, you know, me on the ocean, God has just been really pouring these poems out of me. And, you know, he shared with me that, you know, because I write prophetically as well, he shared with me that even us is his vessels. Because when it comes out of the vessel, I call myself vessel, the vessel has to be purified. Because, you know, in order for us to pour into the lives of other people, we can't pour tainted stuff. So God has given me the poetry as a means to be able to pour those deep and hidden things of my heart. I can pour that out before him on paper. And on paper, he literally answers me by the time the poem is done. So that's how my journey started. I never wrote until up until 2009, and now I have a book that's called The Beauty of a Broken Vessel, and it talks about my brokenness, and it comes out in poetry.
Oh, wonderful. I see that. It is so wonderful to read and hear what God has put into you and you put on paper. Have you published any of your writings yet?
Some of them I have and some I haven't. You know, everybody has asked me, and this goes back to, you know, just the journey that I've talked about. You know, I had a situation where, you know, when God started prophetically speaking to me, I had an individual, and this goes along with the brokenness as well. I had an individual that basically told me that, you know, the writing didn't come from God. And this is kind of going into what you were saying, Sister Lissandra, that, you know, sometimes people speak things over you, and we don't know how much power our words carry. So during that time, you know, the writings weren't of God and all of these different things, which I know that some of those things that I write, there's no way that I could have written those things, you know, no way. So I kind of hid the book and, you know, just determined within myself that I was just going to keep this between me and God. But I knew that those writings that he gave me were not just for me. And because of the passion that I have for women, I knew that I wasn't the only one that was going through this. I knew that, you know, I have a writing called The Invisible Me. I have one called Innocence that I wrote for human trafficking. I have another one that's called Let It Go. And it deals with every single area of my life. And I know that, you know, as I begin to pour my truth out on paper, that God is going to use that to deliver somebody else. So I hit it. And my wonderful mentor that has come into my life, which is Coletta Govan, you know, she began to minister to me, and she saw my book one day. And I was really closed up because somebody had even given me a word that I was going to die. So for literally 3 years, I locked myself up in my home. I went to work and came back, and I fell into a deep depression, literally thinking that I was going to die. But to God be the glory, the devil is a lie. And that word that was spoken in my life was not true. And I'm still living today, and I believe that I'm living for the purpose of whatever God has given me to sow into the lives of these women. So whatever I can do to sow a seed, whether it's through my writings, whether it's through my worship, whether it's through a word that I can give, you know, I'm ready and available to be a blessing to the body of Christ.
Yes, ma'am, and I wanted to let you know publicly, and for those that were at the Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church women's retreat this weekend, this is the lady that wrote the I Choose poem that I distributed among you all, that y'all all wanted. So I wanted everybody to know that this is the author of the poetry that you received this weekend, and I want you to know, Dimitri, that you were a blessing to the ladies at the retreat as well. They embraced that poem, and they even want to use the theme, the I Choose, as the theme for our retreat on next year. So glory to God for you. All the glory goes to God for you. And before we get off the line tonight, I would like for you to, if you have that available, read it to our listening audience, if you don't mind, because I would love to hear it come out of your soul. But in the meantime,
definitely,
before we get to that part, I want you to tell us what do you do now compared to your writing to help the women that you encounter now. Tell us about your actual job that you do right now. I think that's a very interesting job that you do that relates to your ministry.
Well, currently I am the director of True Faith Community. And what True Faith Community is, it is a housing community for individuals that come from brokenness. It's a safe place where there are houses and homes that individuals can come and call home. The visionary is Pastor Daryl Abenshine with Southside City Church. And just to kind of lead up to how I got here, I worked at the Salvation Army. I was a case manager there for a season and was working with individuals that had chemical dependency as well as MHMR issues. I was the case manager. And during that time, God just began to deal with me because I just had a vision and a heart, like I said, for just hurting and broken women. And God opened up a door and an opportunity for me to serve at the Salvation Army. And I always wanted to have a home to be able to be a safe place and to speak life and restoration back into women. And so, you know, during my season at the Salvation Army, within about the fifth year, God began to deal with me, and he was telling me that it was time for me to go. And so, you know, I'm a woman of faith. I'm just that type of person that when God says go, I do it. It may look a little crazy, but I trust him. He's my husband, and I know that he's been faithful enough to take care of me in the last year. So I just trust him. So about a year and a half ago, God was just dealing with me and told me to go. And so I said, well, God, you know, where is it that you want me to go? What is it that you want me to do? And I thought that I was going to have to build homes, you know, build these homes, even though that was my passion. I said, okay, God, you know, we'll do that. But what is it that you want me to do? I used to send out daily scriptures to, you know, people in my phone, just words of encouragement. And one day I heard the Spirit of the Lord say to me, if I found favor in your sight. And so I said, okay, God. I said, where, you know, let me go. And I don't know if any of you, when God speaks to you, he'll give you a portion of the word, and then you go to the scripture and seek it out. And so during that time, I was asking God if I should leave the Salvation Army. And I went, and the scripture was Exodus, the 33rd chapter, where Moses was telling, or God was telling Moses that he should leave this place. So God told me, he said, you should leave this place. He said, my spirit will be with you, and I will give you rest. And so I put in my 60-day notice in my apartment complex. I put in my 30-day notice on my job after I had been working at the Salvation Army for almost 6 years. With no reference of what I was doing, I just went because God told me to go. Within 30 days, God strategically paired me with this individual, Pastor Daryl Abenshine, who they were praying for a director to come and be over a community of homes that they had. They just had the heart and the vision for the homeless, but they needed somebody that can come in and actually run the community. So God was prompting me to leave because they were going to close the community down because they didn't have anybody to lead it. And here I was with a vision and a passion to build homes. Well, God opened up a door, and I came into a community of homes. God not only gave me one house for women, but he gave me several homes that I am currently the director over. One is the Esther's House. It's a woman's home that we run. It's for, you know, hurting and broken women. You know, anybody is welcome to come. Anybody is qualified to come. They are discipleship homes. So the Esther's House is basically based off of Queen Esther. You know, as we know that Queen Esther came from humble beginnings, but when she came into the harem, she didn't know who she was, and she didn't know that there was a queen that was locked up inside of her. So she needed people to come around her to be able to pull that out of her. So the Estes House is designed for women that come from all walks of life. They may be coming from drug addiction. They may be coming from a background of prostitution. Whatever that brokenness is, the Estes House is open for them to come and be discipled, to walk alongside them and be able to speak to the queen in them to pull out what God has predestined for them to do. We also have a men's house that provides the same accountability for men. And for each home, we have a shepherd of the home. So there is an actual person that actually stays in the house with those individuals for accountability and also for shepherding. I'm the director of the community, but I am also the housing manager of the Esther's House. So I do reside in the Esther's House as well with the ladies. We also, too, have single-family homes. So those individuals that are in our home, huh?
Okay. I say you do have family homes, huh?
Yes. Yes, okay. Ma'am. So we those individuals that come from the discipleship homes, they do have an opportunity to actually have their own home. And the whole purpose and goal is kind of set up like the body of Christ, because, you know, those that come from brokenness, a lot of times what happens is they come into a community, we build them up, we dress them up, and then we send them back to their old environment, which is a formula for failure. So what True Faith Community wants to do is to be able to walk with that individual through every walk of life, where we can disciple them and also release them to be able to have some individuality and be able to function on their own but still be connected to the body so that they're not out there on their own.
Amen. Wonderful. So now tell us about how many do you occupy, hold in the house at one time, or the other houses that you have?
The Esther's House, we can house up to five women, including me, it would be six. So it can be five women in the house at one time, and the housing manager. Our men's home, we can hold up to four men plus the housing manager, which is a total of five. And then we have duplex. We have a duplex where we have two women that stay in the house there in that duplex. We just recently got another duplex, which we're getting ready today to put a family in. Actually, the visionary that Pastor Darrell kind of gleaned from to start the community, him and his wife have gone through some brokenness. So they're coming from another city, and we just brought another property to bring them in so that we can restore them back. Because, you know, the scripture tells us that if your brother is overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore him back. So the person that actually gave Pastor Darrell the idea is in a state of brokenness at the time. So now True Faith Community is coming in to be a blessing to them and to speak life back into them so that they can, you know, take hold of the plow again.
Wow, wonderful. Look, God is just truly working. He's just working everywhere, isn't he? We just
love that.
Yes, to know that he is there, that can help us and will be in control of our lives if we just allow him that control. So it is just a beautiful thing to know the Lord. It is. Now, do you think that because of your father being a minister and the things that you've gone through has helped you just be a vessel that of honor for the Lord? I know you said that, but how do you relate that, or how do you just go ahead and put that into terms that we can understand?
As far as my relationship with the vessel of honor?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, to share a little bit, the pastor and wife, they actually adopted me as their daughter. So, when I was a teen mother, my mom put me out when I was 15, and I, was going to a church there in Omaha, Nebraska. I'm from Omaha, Nebraska, and the pastor kind of took me under his wing. So, I wasn't really, I'm not his birth daughter. So, it took for God to, really place him, in my life to father me. Because, I didn't grow up with my father. And my father recently died. He died about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, no.
And My father was there, but My father was there, but he wasn't. I knew where he was, but he wasn't present. So God kind of came in and he put somebody in my life to father me, but there was still a lot of brokenness. You know, even with Elder Murray being there, Elder Murray was the pastor and wife that took me under their wing. But during that time, Elder Murray fathered me, but like you said before, there was just a lot of negative things that was spoken over me. And so me being a vessel of honor, when it talks about 2 Timothy 2:19 through 21, it says that a man must purge himself of these to be a vessel unto honor. So, you know, it's me really coming before the Lord and asking him to purge all of those things out of me. The brokenness of me not, you know, having a relationship with my mother. Me, you know, needing to be a mother to my daughter but not knowing how to be a mother. So here I am being, you know, placed in a position to be this mother and held to a standard, but nobody mothered me. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. So, yeah, you know, that was kind of hard to do. If you didn't, if you didn't know how to do it, you know, that would have been something that was hard to do.
So God became my everything.
Everything. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. And that's what I was going to lead to. Also, you didn't have, like, my story is that my mother wasn't around. I did get pregnant when I was 15. I had a child when I was 16. But my grandmother, who was a very devout Christian lady, she did not put me out. She did not shun me. She did not talk down to me or you know, judge me. She said it was a mistake. It happened, and she loved me, and she undergirded me, and she taught me things. So you didn't have the privilege of having a grandmother or some other adult female in your life that would take you on, right?
The interesting thing is that I had several women in my life that took me under their wing, but when I left from their presence, I left broken. So, you know, I've been, and this is just my testimony, I've been physically abused by, literally physically abused, mentally, emotionally, and that's the whole purpose of me talking about the beauty of a broken vessel, because I had one in my life, and because of that whole situation with me and my mother, I think it kind of took me on a journey where I said to myself, I was going to find a new mother. Every person that I found myself with that was supposed to be that mentor or that was supposed to be that grandmother, that was supposed to speak life to me, you know, it didn't turn. And God has shown me that it's their own brokenness too. So hurt people hurt other people. But what it did was it left me a wounded young woman.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I figured. Yeah, that's what I figured that. Yeah. Because, you know, it happened like that. That's where the brokenness came from. Well, let me ask you this. How long did it take for you to come to the realization of your brokenness and try and start coming out? Was it, how many years did that take?
From the age of 15 up to when God began to draw me to Texas, and that was, I was about 7 years old, and God just began to speak to me. I was summoned to a conference, a Juanita Bynum conference, I believe it was in 2005, and God summoned me to a Women on the Frontline conference. And, you know, during that time, you know, I just was broken, but really realized that I hadn't really encountered the presence of the Lord like I thought I had. There's a lot of times God began to tell me, you know, do you know me? And I kept saying, God, I want to know you. There's a lot of people that know of God, but they don't really know God. And God was showing me the difference between, you know, knowing somebody. I can know of somebody, but for me to say that I really know you, that comes from intimacy and spending time with you. So when God began to summon me to that conference, God began to take me on this journey of really having a relationship with him and knowing him in an intimate way. Because intimacy denotes knowing the person from the inside. Intimacy means into me you see. So you can see into me and see everything. When God comes into you, he comes to heal the brokenness. And there's a lot of people that go to church, and there's a lot of people that, you know, may do the religious things, but he's saying, you know, depart from me. I don't know you. I never had a relationship with you. I was never intimate with you. When you're intimate with somebody, you literally birth something in the realm of the spirit, which is your purpose and your destiny. So when I began to chase after God concerning that, the first thing that he gave me was himself. And so that's when he showed me my true brokenness, that, you know, in order for me to be totally healed 100%, that I really didn't know God like I thought I did. I knew church. Oh, I knew church. I knew the protocol. I knew who to call and how to call them, and I knew it. I was the armor bearer. I was the sick and shut in. I was the choir director. I was it all. But I didn't know God. And so when he began to take me on that journey of really pulling me away and putting me on the backside of the mountain, that's when God began to show me my brokenness. And that's where the book comes from, The Beauty of a Broken Vessel, where your life can be shattered. You know, sometimes we think our life is perfect and everything is fine, but God will take those pieces. Sometimes it's like he took the vessel and he just broke it in a million pieces. And now here you are trying to put it together. God said you don't have to put it together. He said, I will take the pieces of your broken life and I will make something beautiful out of it. So that's when he began to minister to me about the brokenness and what that looks like, and that he says even in scripture that a broken and a contrite heart he will not despise. If we really come before the Lord and show him our heart and everything that plagues us, everything that has hurt us in the past, that he will take those broken pieces and put us back together again and really use us for his glory.
Amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate that explanation for that. So go ahead and tell us how to, what would you tell the young ladies that are listening? Well, first of all, let me go ahead and open up the lines. I'm sorry. For my callers that are on the line tonight, do anybody out there have any questions for Demetria tonight or any comments or want to come in on our conversation tonight?
Hello.
Hello.
This is Carla. Go ahead. How y'all doing?
We doing fantastic, Minister Govan. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I just wanted to let Ms. Demetria know that I was listening and that I am so extremely proud of her and definitely want to support her in all that that she endeavors to do. I'm enjoying the show tonight. Just wanted y'all to know that I was out here listening and just appreciate all that you do, and especially you guys getting the word out and bringing communities up to speed as to what's going on out here. You know, there's a lot going on, and people need a lot of help. And you guys stopping, you know, stepping out to, you know, tell people who's doing what and where they're doing it at, so people are not kind of just grabbling around in the dark trying to find a place to be, a place to get, or where their hope and encouragement is. So I just appreciate you guys, Shashandra, doing it, you know, taking the time out and being so committed. Every Monday night you're on this line, on this radio, letting us know what's going on. So I just appreciate you and applaud you guys, Granite's Place, for doing all that you do.
Amen. Thank you so much. We do appreciate that for that uplifting and encouraging word. And you know that anything that we can do for our sisters that are listening tonight, we are more than happy to do it. That's what we want to do for them. God has given us this opportunity to help one another. So that's what we're all about, my sister, my friend. We want to encourage and give them resources and information that will help someone. And we hope that during the listening that they will gather something from Demetria tonight that will help them to walk on a little further, to take intimacy with God a little more personal and get a little more involved with being intimate with him, developing their relationship with him, because it's nothing like it. It's nothing having a personal relationship with God. He's able and he's willing to do whatever you need him to do. just develop that intimacy with him, and he'll just work everything out for you. Demetra, I wanted you to go ahead and give a word of encouragement. If anybody else has didn't have anything else to ask, comment, or say to our listening audience tonight, to the young ladies that are listening, or those who need some encouragement, or those who just need to know how to get intimate with God, why don't you?
Precious,
hello?
I love the one of y'all on the list.
Go ahead. Hello? Is there somebody want to give us a comment or ask a question tonight?
I do. This is Monette Legs. I had heard somebody, so I didn't want to speak up. How are y'all doing on tonight?
We're doing good, Mr. Legs. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Good to hear from you.
Thank you. I'm really enjoying the show on tonight, and I can relate to the topic on tonight about being pregnant at a very young age, and I got pregnant at 15 too, you know, dealing with brokenness. But I'd like for her to expound about, you know, getting over the past and, you know, when God heals you from your brokenness, how it can be a challenge to move forward when other people tend to want to keep you in that place and in that space when God has delivered you, and then so along the way sometimes you have to let go of others and, you know, peel off individuals that God has, you know, delivered you from and that you can no longer be connected to. I know I found that to be a challenge in my walk and dealing with brokenness and being healed, you know, from the errors of my ways and so forth and so on. So could you talk to us a little bit about that? About, you know, how you move forward when people want to keep you stuck in those places and dealing with rejection and moving forward as you have to disconnect from individuals.
Wow. You said a mouthful. absolutely. You know, it's funny that you say that because, you know, even the writing that we talked about, I choose. You know, and that's why it's so important for us to, you know, make sure, and I know that sometimes we can kind of, it can be kind of cliche, you know, saying that you really have to develop, but, you know, we really have to develop that relationship with God and know who we are in him and know our identity in him. And once we do that, you know, God would begin to give us the strength that we need to be able to disconnect. I know for me, you know, I had to disconnect from my family for a season. You know, because, you know, there were certain things that my family was pulling me back into. You know, there's a line in I Choose that says, the spirit of negativity has been broken, released from my spirit, purged from my bloodstream. I had to really separate myself and really find myself to a place where I had to make that those things happen, because in order for me to heal, I had to do that. God always deals with me even concerning, you talk about hospitals and how when a person is going through recovery, the only person that's in there with you in recovery is you and the doctor. And sometimes if you really want to go through that transitional period and you really want to go through that healing, you have to make up in your mind, in order for me to heal, in order for me to stop bleeding, I'm going to have to make a decision to separate myself, because if not, I'm still going to be a product of my old environment. So, like you said, woman of God, it's not an easy process, because when you do keep going back to those places, you do feel the rejection and all of those different things. But that's the reason why I had a determination to find my identity in God and to find that intimacy with him. And once I found that intimacy with God, he began to speak to those places in my heart. He began to tell me who I am. He began to tell me that I was his bride. He began to tell me that he was the lover of my soul and all of those different things. But it took for me going to that secret place and really pursuing God, just like I pursued those things in the world. So I had to really chase after him like never before. You know, nowadays they have this whole thing where they, you know, they say I'm thirsty, and that's supposed to be a negative thing. Well, no, let's go back to the scripture. The Bible says they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. So I don't really care what the world says. I am thirsty. I'm very thirsty.
Amen.
So y'all can say whatever y'all want to say, I'm thirsty for God, and I'm going to keep thirsting after him because he's the one that quenches everything in my soul.
Come on.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much.
Amen. So, anybody else? Anybody got another question, a comment? Beverly,
yes.
Do you have anything?
Hello?
Go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Hi.
Go ahead.
This is Sister Catrice. I was calling just to support Vessel on tonight, but I do have a question. What is next for Vessel? In this season, what is next for Vessel as far as her writings, her speaking engagements, or even I know she has a night of worship coming up. What is next for Vessel for the body of Christ to share with the body of Christ?
Hi, Trace.
Hi.
Well, right now, I'm just really seeking God for direction, you know, regarding what he has for the next leg of the journey. You know, my whole goal right now and my whole drive right now, like I said before, I believe that God has given me this book and he has given me this writing to really be a deposit into the lives of God's people. So I'm looking towards in 2015 to really kind of stop procrastinating. I'm going to be honest, I ain't perfect now. But to really, really start going for those things that God has promised me. And he says that I have given you the ability to gain wealth and to really be a blessing. He's given me those things, and in 2015, I really want to move forward in that. And whatever doors God opens, I told him that I'm just going to give him another yes. You know, despite the depression, despite all of those things that the enemy tried to do to stop me, whatever door God opens in this season, I'm just walking through it.
Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Any other questions, comments, concerns? Okay. We're going to go ahead and ask Demetra, would you go ahead and read that poem I choose to our listening audience tonight just to give them a little taste of your God-given talent and what he's been dropping in your spirit?
Yes, ma'am. This writing is called I Choose. It says, I choose to let go of the hurt. I choose to let go of the pain. I choose to stop rehearsing the scenes of what others have done to me. I choose to embrace my future, turning my back on my past. I choose to move forward. My destiny is awaiting. My purpose is within full grasp. I no longer envision freedom. It is now a reality. My hopes and my dreams, I see them. There's no limit to what I can be. Low self-esteem is not an option, only boldness and confidence, that's what defines me. This day I will choose to walk in my victory. The spirit of negativity has been broken, released from my spirit, purged from my bloodstream. I speak life. I encourage myself. My life is a living testimony. I choose to live and not die. I am a woman of integrity. I choose to be an example. People will no longer hinder me. I am a good person, a good sister, a mother and friend, an awesome daughter. My abilities, they have no end. I am liked. I am loved. People, yes, they do look up to me. It's all because I choose. I accept his love for me. I have a lot to offer to the world. There are people depending on me. I will release what's been locked up and hidden on the inside of me. I will go. I'll be the sacrifice. He can take this broken vessel. God, you can use me. I will tell a dying world they too can choose and embrace their identity. Choose to break past bondages, whole and complete. Yes, they too can choose the choice. They too can be free.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. That was a message in it, y'all. Did y'all get it? You have a choice. You definitely
yes.
have a choice. Thank you so much, Demetria, for sharing that with us. I feel it. I feel it down in my soul that I have a choice. I thank God for the choice that I can be free, that I can be take away those hurts, those broken, because it's my choice to do. And with him, I can be free. I can be free.
Amen.
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 Amen. So before we close out tonight, what would be your word to the young ladies that are listening about their brokenness and how to get past it, and what would you leave them with tonight?
I would leave them with tonight to just explore and to know God's unconditional love for them. You know, that God is not a lot of times, you know, we focus so much on what we're not and who we are not. But God doesn't see all of that. He just sees the love for us. And if we continue to chase after God and we continue to pursue a relationship with him, and in that relationship with him, it doesn't mean that we have to be perfect. You know, a lot of times people will tell you that I hear, you know, well, I'm going to come to God when I get it together. But, you know, God wants us to come to him exactly like we are. And he doesn't want us to take the pieces of those our broken lives and all of those issues that we think that we have to really present ourselves before him as being perfect. God is looking for us to come forth him as an imperfect people, because we're made perfect through Jesus Christ. It's not anything that we can do of ourselves. So if we come to him with our rejection, if we come to him with our abandonment issues, if we come to him with all of those different issues that plague us, that make up whatever that brokenness is. My brokenness on tonight, that was just my story and my testimony. But at the end of the day, we all have a unique testimony that makes up what our brokenness is. And God is interested in hearing what that is. And he wants to pick the pieces of our broken lives back up and make something beautiful out of it. You know, I'm really drawn towards the mosaic art, which is that broken glass. I don't know if anybody is familiar with that, but it looks like a bunch of broken pieces of glass, but they've made vessels out of it. And that's one of the main things that I use as vessels of honor, because in that piece is something that has been broken in a million pieces, but somebody took that and put it back together again, and now that's something that people are drawn to. So I would just say allow God to pick those broken pieces up of your life, because he will take those things and make something beautiful out of it, and he will use it for his glory. Because you do have purpose and you do have destiny. And as long as you're still breathing, moving, walking, and talking, God still has purpose for you.
Amen. Thank you so much for leaving us with that inspirational uplifting. So, ladies, take that, embrace it, receive it, and take it to God and develop your relationship with him. Now, Mr. Govan, are you still here with us? Well, I think she's hung up. I wanted to go ahead and make an announcement before the end of our show, which we have about 8 minutes. Demetra, I know you know about the Renewed Life Church First Annual Perfect Love Conference, the one that's going to be on November the 14th and 15th. Will you go ahead and make that announcement for Govan, please? Or do you have the information on it?
Yes. Actually, Minister Lori Key, well, Pastor Lori Key will be having a conference this weekend for trafficking awareness. And it will be this weekend, I believe, Friday. It is the 14th and the 15th. And I believe on Friday the worship starts at 8 o'clock, and it's going to be in Arlington. I actually don't have the information in front of me, but if I can get with you and you can send a blast out with that actual information. But it will be on the 14th and the 15th. It starts on 8 o'clock on Thursday, and on Saturday it's an all-day event. And basically what it is about is just us being aware of human trafficking. Tonight we actually do a radio show with Quinletta Govan, and we actually had a trafficking survivor that was on tonight and gave her testimony. And it's just something that the body of Christ really needs to be aware of, because it is right underneath our noses, and sometimes we need to strategically know how to deal with these issues. And that Perfect Love Conference is what is actually going to be talked about those two days.
Okay, well, thank you so much for that information. And if you give me the address and the times to it, I will go ahead and send an email blast out to our listening audience that I know that are online tonight, or just all of my friends and my listeners. I'll get that to them in case they want to attend. Because all I have also, too, is just where it's the Renewed Life Church presents First Annual Perfect Love DFW 2014 Conference, November 14th through the 15th. I thought I had it, the address and stuff here in front of me, but I don't. So, but I want to thank you tonight for joining us, and I want to know if there's any other announcements. Pastor Henderson, do you have an announcement about the church opening events that you're having on this weekend?
Sure. First of all, I'd like to say good evening, and I do apologize to our sponsor and my host for being late getting on the line, but I am here, and I have thoroughly enjoyed the young lady thus far speaking and sharing on the brokenness and being whole through Jesus Christ. I'm not for sure age, but I want you to know that you have the ability to draw. And it's one thing that you said, that you're hungry and you're going to stay hungry. And woman of God, I want you to know that's exactly what it takes for us to hunger for righteousness that we may be feeling. So I want you to know that we've been truly blessed on tonight. And I thank God for our host inviting you. And we would love to hear as well as see you. See God use you in person as well one day in the very near future.
God be the glory.
Amen.
Now, Host Lewis, I would do as you ask. As many of you all know, that Ash is a beauty, and I'm also now the senior pastor of Hope of Glory Fellowship. God has blessed us to move from an office space here in Garland to purchase in our own standalone church in Dallas. So on Saturday, we will have our new church dedication brunch, in which we will be honoring and dedicating the fellowship hall to my husband, the late Pastor Dexter Paul Henderson. He passed away this Saturday, November 15th, will be 1 year, and we thought it would be so befitting to dedicate the church and the fellowship in his honor on that day a year later. And it just lets the world know that we can't curse what God has blessed. And in spite of it all, if we keep our hand in the Master's hand and stick to the plan that he has for us, just as he has produced a year later, he will continue to produce in each and every one of our lives. So, Host Lewis, an opportunity that's this Saturday, November 15th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can come in between those times to open house and tour the facilities, eat with us, fellowship with us, take pictures with us. The address is 8217 Melinda Lane, Dallas, Texas, 75217. And my number is area code 972-861-2118. So should you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please do not hesitate to contact Pastor Henderson. Thank you, Host Lewis.
Amen. Thank you, co-host, for joining us tonight. I know that you're so busy, and we thank you for taking the time out to join us tonight. All right?
Thanks,
And listening audience, tomorrow night from 8 to 9 p.m., please join Mojo Blog Talk Radio talking about relationships. Mojo, you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, give us a blast about the show on tomorrow night.
Well, tomorrow night we're going to talk about loving when it hurts. And my husband and I will both be on the line tomorrow night promoting marriage and demoting divorce, because in this day and age, the divorce rate is on the increase, and we hope through the ministry that God has given us that we will encourage people to hang in there and make it work and decide to, get married. So it's just not for married people. It's also for anyone in a relationship or anyone who aspires to be married. So give us a call on tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, and we'd love to hear from you. Thank you, Sister Lewis.
Amen. You can listen in at the same number that you listened in tonight, or you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Granny's Place and click on Mojo Talk Radio at 8 o'clock tomorrow night, or dial in at 310-982-4126 to get in on the conversation on tomorrow night, Tuesday. We've had some very, very good sessions with the Mojo Blog Talk Radio Show, so join us on tomorrow night. Then on Saturday morning, you can listen to Free on the Inside with my beloved husband, talking to men and young men about the different aspects of life and having different guests. He's on from 8 to 9 o'clock at this same number, 310-982-4126. His show is Free on the Inside. So join us anytime, these events, these shows, and just be a part and express yourself and tell us what you want us to talk about, and we'll be more than happy to lift you up. And we're going to go ahead and ask our guest tonight, Miss Demetria, would you go ahead and pray us out, please? That is our usual custom. Our guest prays us out.
Yes, ma'am. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just come to you as humble as we know, hallowed God, in your mighty name. Thank you for another day, God, that you have allowed us to see, Father. But we know, God, it wasn't of anything that we've done of ourselves, God, but it was merely because of your grace and your mercy, God, that we rose on this morning. And just for that, we want to tell you thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your unconditional love, Father. We thank you, Father, that you do take the pieces of our broken lives, God, and you do mend them and put them back together again, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I just decree and declare, Father God, on every person under the sound of my voice, God, that you will begin to draw them the more by your Spirit, Father, that you will allow your Spirit to dwell in us the more, Father God, that we can bring praise and glory and honor to your name, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, that we will be caught up in your presence, so, Father God, that we can live out the predestined plan and purposes, Father, that you have designed for us to live, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, give us more of you, Father God. Give us a hunger and a thirst after you like never before, God. And we'll continue to give you all the praise. We'll continue to give you all the glory and honor. Father, we thank you for this Blog Talk Radio, God. Father God, may it reach the nations, Father God. I decree and declare, God, that you will begin to call your people, God, from the north, the south, the east, and the west, Father God, that they will come and hear Granny's Place, Father God, that their lives may be changed like never before, God. And we'll just continue to give the praise, Father God, that is due unto your name. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, listeners. God bless each of you. We have enjoyed having you on the line tonight. And don't forget, join Mojo tomorrow night from 8 to 9 p.m. God bless each of you. I love you. With God's love, take care. Have a good rest of the evening. Goodbye.
Good night.
Good night.